This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Today is World Press Freedom Day, and in a special version of Africa News Tonight, we'll be taking a deep look at how media freedoms stand across Africa. So stay with us. Lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Today is the 25th annual World Press Freedom Day. It's a day set aside to honor journalistic independence from government censorship and intrusion, and to celebrate the public's right to unrestricted news and information. May 3rd also marks the anniversary of the Windhoek Declaration, first formulated by an international group of African journalists in Namibia in 1991, and soon endorsed by UNESCO. To find out about the state of press freedom in Africa, VOA's Adam Phillips spoke with Angela Quinall, the African Program Coordinator at the Committee to Protect Journalists, or CPJ. CPJ is a New York-based non-profit organization formed in 1981 to protect press freedoms and ensure that journalists worldwide can work without fear of imprisonment or violence. Mrs. Quinall began the interview by giving Africa mixed reviews.
I mean, if one looks at the number of journalists who are behind bars currently, we've actually had some gains. Let me give you an example. In 2016, Ethiopia was the second highest jailer of journalists in sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, same period, we were down to 5. That's positive, right? Eritrea is obviously a huge concern. In terms of censorship, it is after North Korea in terms of censorship. There is no independent media in Eritrea. There was a crackdown in 2001 where you had journalists who were arrested and actually haven't been heard of since. We're not even sure that all of them may in fact still be alive.
Nigeria is in the news today because President Buhari is visiting. What do you have to say to him?
Our first appeal to President Buhari, with an election around the corner next year, it is important to ensure that a plurality and diversity of media is able to operate. And let me say that this is not about journalists. This is about the public's right to information. We have major, major concerns in terms of some of the legislation that is being used against journalists and bloggers in Nigeria. So, for example, cybercrime legislation is being used to close down the democratic space. Of course, as we've seen elsewhere on the continent, terrorism legislation is also being used. One of our emblematic cases for the year is someone called Joan Zabiri. He's the editor of a tabloid called The Weekly Source in Bayelsa State. He's been in jail for over 2 years. He was arrested at his office by the intelligence services of Nigeria. He is accused of being a so-called militant, and he hasn't appeared in a court of law. He just hasn't been heard of. Just recently, we found out that he may be alive.
Part of the damage, of course, is not just to the journalists themselves who have been put in jail or even killed, but also the dampening effect it has on other journalists who then become afraid that they'll be next.
Yeah, I mean, self-censorship is a big problem. Nigeria is in violation of international law when it comes to Joan Zabiri.
I understand that often the rationale for suppressing journalists is because they want to create a good impression globally. I know Kenya is an example of that.
Kenya, of course, is probably one of the disappointments in East Africa in the sense that it really was one of the beacons in terms of press freedom. And slowly but surely, you've seen that being eroded under President Uhuru Kenyatta. And it is of great concern when you see television stations being shut down. That's what Kenya did. They shut down those media houses. Something that's really important is the diversity of voices. When we talk about press freedom, we're talking about media pluralism, that diversity that you need in the media so that you don't only have one voice. And then obviously media independence from government, but also from commercial and other interests. And again, this is not about journalists because ultimately it's the citizens of a country that suffer. What you want as a citizen is credible, accurate information. And that is what's been denied when governments are censoring voices of journalists.
Angela Quinall is the Africa Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists in New York. She spoke with VOA's Adam Phillips in connection with World Press Freedom Day 2018. Today, on World Press Freedom Day, rights groups are warning of a deteriorating of media freedom in East Africa, while countries like Eritrea, Sudan, Djibouti, and Somalia are almost always near the bottom of global press freedom rankings. Activists say the past few years have seen a troubling further downturn throughout this part of the continent, including in countries like Kenya and Tanzania. VOA's Daniel Sharif reports from Nairobi.
Ethiopian authorities have arrested journalist Eskinder Nega 9 times on charges that include treason, terrorism, and genocide. But Nega tells VOA the abuse won't stop him from writing critically about the government.
Without freedom of expression, freedom is just not possible. It starts from there. You have to be able to express yourself.
Nega's latest release from jail was on April 5th, just days after a new prime minister, Abiy Ahmed, was sworn in, raising some hope for change.
He has given us promise, and we need him to deliver on those promises. We haven't seen anything in action up to now.
Reporters Without Borders ranked Ethiopia a low 150 out of 180 countries in this year's Global Press Freedom Index, unchanged from last year. East Africa is home to some of the consistent poor performers on the annual index. RSF ranked Eritrea second to last in 2018, just above North Korea. Activists say laws on terrorism and national security are increasingly being used across the region to restrict the media and encourage self-censorship. Joanne Yanyuki is regional director for Amnesty International in Nairobi.
Looking at Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, and Burundi up to about 3-4 years ago were really the jewels of the continent. You know, everybody, West African countries were told, oh, why can't you emulate your East African counterparts? But I feel like now the applause has gone to our heads and the Western countries need to stop applauding and asking us the hard questions.
In Tanzania, says Nyanyuki, the space for media freedom is closing at a very fast pace. RSF dropped Tanzania's ranking for press freedom this year a full 10 spots, from 83 to 93. Authorities suspend popular radio stations for airing material deemed to incite the public and disturb the peace. Bloggers face similar new restrictions. Media who dare to question the government are shut down, says Tanzania's Legal and Human Rights Center's Helen Kijo-Bisimba.
There are some newspapers which were banned, some of them three years, and some of them so for several months, and others for good.
In Uganda, the Human Rights Network for Journalists has collected video of police brutally attacking and beating reporters. The rights group's coordinator, Robert Sempala, says the police continued to be the top violator of press freedom in 2017.
The police was cast in very bad light because it was responsible for 83 cases of the 113, representing 73%.
Uganda's police spokesman, Emilian Kaima, denies there is impunity for police who attack the press.
We've taken them to court. We've investigated those cases. Courts have found them guilty, have sentenced them, and off they go. That shows the will on the part of the police.
RSF dropped Uganda's 2018 press freedom ranking 5 spots to 117, citing security services targeting journalists. Some in the region are pushing back against legal restrictions and government pressure. The week-long blackout of 4 independent broadcasters in Kenya this year over planned coverage of an opposition event drew intense criticism. Lawyers protested in February as the government defied court orders, including the order to lift the suspension on the TV channels. This year, RSF lowered Kenya's press freedom ranking by 1 spot to 96 for what it called a slow erosion of media freedom. Citizens should care when press freedom is restricted, says Amnesty's Nyanyuki.
Citizens really need to stand up and own the freedom of the press as one of the things that will protect them and will enable them to go further in terms of development and safeguarding and protecting their own rights. So freedom of the press is really the freedom of every ordinary citizen in the region.
People are beginning to wake up to concerns about a free press, says Nyanyuki, so there is cause for optimism. Daniel Sheriff, VOA News, Nairobi.
As the world marks Press Freedom Day, it's an opportunity for all journalists to ponder whether they really are free to write what they choose. Degrees of media freedom vary greatly across Africa. Some reporters are protected when they speak truth to power, but their colleagues in neighboring countries face jail for doing just that. From Johannesburg, Nadia Sami has the story.
Africa is a mixed bag when it comes to the World Press Freedom Index, compiled by Reporters Without Borders. Countries like Ghana, Namibia, and South Africa fare quite well, but Eritrea and Sudan are consistently among the lowest ranked. Katie Katopoulos is the editor-in-chief of Eyewitness News, one of South Africa's largest radio groups. She highlights some of the challenges faced by reporters on the continent.
Our colleagues and our peers on the rest of the continent suffer terribly in terms of legislation, which is hugely problematic and very, very draconian. And we definitely see cases of a lack of media freedom that is worrying, of censorship, of journalists who are often thrown in jail for a long time without the judicial system actually assisting them. We've seen what happened in places like Egypt, for example. So we certainly are facing a lot of problems on the continent when it comes to media, the role of media, and of course the freedom which some journalists have in which to operate. And these are things which should worry us.
Katopoulos says despite South Africa's robust media, she's witnessed attempts to intimidate her journalists, particularly those uncovering corruption within the government.
The reality is that if you are doing work that is meaningful but that also has impact, we won't often make everybody happy all of the time. So yes, we've had instances where some of our reporters have been threatened with legal action, going to the courts in terms of trying to get some type of gagging order against us. But it's all par for the course because ultimately justice prevails, and we have been free to write what we need to.
The South African media has had its fair share of squabbles with the government. The ruling African National Congress want a media appeals tribunal to replace the current self-regulation system for the press. There was also an attempt to censor the news on the public broadcaster, the SABC, where a directive was issued to not show any visuals of violent protests. The executive who made that call has since been fired. Then there's the highly controversial Protection of State Information Bill, dubbed the Secrecy Bill. If implemented, it could jail journalists who publish information the state deems classified. Mahlatsi Mahlase is the chairperson of the South African National Editors Forum. She says the bill could be used to hide corruption or criminalize journalists' work.
But we have been able to lobby and put pressure to stop some of those bills, and we still believe that because we have courts that are independent and that respect the constitution of the country, should bills like that turn into law, we could challenge them.
The strength of a country's democracy can be measured in part by the freedom of its media. Press freedom advocates say many countries simply pay lip service to media freedom and don't actively uphold journalists' rights. According to the Committee for the Protection of Journalists, nearly 70 reporters were languishing in African jails as of December 2017. Most are in Egypt and Eritrea, making these two of the most dangerous countries to be a reporter. I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg.
As UNESCO celebrates World Press Freedom Day today, it aims to remind the public about the media's role in protecting democracy, free speech, and good governance. It's also a reminder that government and business interests often try to obstruct journalists from uncovering corruption and wrongdoing. From Abuja, Nigeria, reporter Gift Agirigi looks at some of the issues faced by the media in her country.
This year's World Press Freedom Day theme focuses on using the press, the justice system, and rule of law to keep power in check. Desmond Otoen is the founder of the Center Against Brutality for the Protection of Journalists in Africa. He says the Nigerian media largely has done a good job exposing government corruption. He gave the example of former Inspector General of Police, Tafa Balogu, who was arrested, tried, and jailed for stealing over $100 million of government funds several years ago.
It was the media that exposed the cases of corruption around him, for which he was eventually relieved of his position as the IJ. I think the media has actually done a whole lot.
Otomwe said the press should do more investigative reporting, though at this point it's restricted by a lack of funding from private media houses and from donors. He says the ability of the press to uncover mismanagement and to maintain public support depends on sharpening journalistic skills with regular training.
So far, we've had a very vibrant media as it is. At the moment, we're actually trying to ensure that they're also as professional as it could be. With the proliferation of so many blogs and sites being opened on a daily basis, the issue of hate speech, the issue of fake news are also very prevalent. If you do your job properly and you have good knowledge of what you are doing, you possibly may not be exposed to all of them.
Media experts also urge a review of laws and regulations that may impede the work of journalists. The press watchdog Reporters Without Borders ranks Nigeria as 119th out of 180 countries in its latest World Press Freedom Index. In comparison, Ghana, Namibia, and South Africa sit in the top 30. The group says, although Nigeria enjoys over 100 independent media outlets, reporters face powerful regional governors and prosecutors who often try to suppress the release of unflattering information. It also says Nigeria reporters are often accused by authorities of undermining troop morale when they report on the difficulties faced by security forces fighting terrorism. Emmanuel Obeche is a representative of the West African Journalists Association in Nigeria. He says even legal protections may not help journalists if they are not implemented. He says both state and non-state actors across West Africa have suppressed the work of journalists.
We have crooked politicians that consistently and continually work against how journalists should practice. Let me give you an instance in Nigeria. Despite the fact that the country has a Freedom of Information Act, it is unthinkable for you to ask for information concerning government expenditure, especially from the oil sector.
Obeche also recommends that legislators and media houses improve conditions of reporters working in dangerous situations by providing, for example, better salaries and insurance. The Nigeria Union of Journalists will mark World Press Freedom Day this week with awards to those who have withstood harassment and physical threats in the line of duty. Also being honored will be those who waged a brave fight in defense of press freedom, but who lost their lives while doing so. For VOA, this is Gift Agiriga from Abuja.
Past the hour, you were listening to African News Tonight on The Voice of America. Officials say armed men slipped into the International Committee of the Red Cross compound in Somalia's capital and kidnapped a German nurse. The aid agency says it is trying to arrange the release of Sonia Nyantiet, who has been working in conflict zones for the past 4 years. The abduction cast a chill over international aid groups helping in Somalia. Targeting of foreigners has declined in recent years as security has improved in Mogadishu, although Somali aid workers have been targeted. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. Witnesses and officials say the kidnappers may have had inside contact because they were able to get in and out of the Red Cross compound without confrontation with the aid agency's private security guards. The Red Cross compound is located outside the heavily guarded airport area where many international aid organizations and foreign embassies have their offices. In Italy, thousands of migrants from Africa work on farms harvesting crops. But a rights organization says they labor in appalling conditions for very little pay. Many entered Italy by crossing the Mediterranean from Libya and have suffered both physical and psychological injury. Reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome is covering the group's announcement and has spoken with some migrant workers. She briefed VOA's Kate Pound Dawson on what she learned.
MEDU is an Italian human rights organization. It actually stands for Doctors for Human Rights. And this organization works in several different countries, but they've released a report today talking about the appalling exploitation of African migrants in Italy. MEDU has been working to assist around 3,500 migrants who are working in different locations. The organization has spoken of horrendous exploitation, the lack of human rights, and they've painted a picture of a lifestyle where migrants are forced to live in terrible, unsanitary conditions, often in flimsy shacks made out of cardboard and plastic, and they're earning as little as $35 or 30 euros a day for the work that they're doing in the fields.
What are some of the health concerns?
Some of the migrants have suffered physical and psychological torture in Libya on the way to Italy and are bearing the strain from that experience. Others suffer from respiratory conditions, other psychological problems, but mainly the aftermath of what they've suffered en route to Italy, but also some of the problems, the medical problems that they face working these very long hours for so little money and the stress of working in the field.
Now, does the government have any programs or agencies that are helping migrant workers? Are there farm unions that are helping them?
The trade unions in this country have started to do more because we're seeing more of a reaction from migrants themselves that are getting fed up with these conditions. You might recall in Rosano in Calabria in 2010, there were riots when a migrant worker was attacked by local youths, and that caused national headlines. We also saw a Nigerian woman who died and two others were hospitalised when a fire broke out in January in southern Calabria. So we've seen these instances and we've heard the Italian government say that it's going to do more. In fact, in October 2016, the government passed a law criminalising a practice known as gangmastering, where the migrants are exploited by these bosses out in the fields who try and who really are the gatekeepers to the work that they gain out in the countryside. These practices are punishable, but it doesn't seem that we're seeing a lot of action from the authorities, and that's what concerns these organisations like MEDU and Amnesty International.
What is MEDU asking the government to do?
They are looking for greater action from the authorities to protect workers' rights. We heard from workers today, Ousmane Zangabe. He is from Mali. He told us that Africans are being treated like slaves. They're fed up. They don't want to put up with it anymore. And another migrant, Mamadou Dia from Senegal, is actually working with migrants and working with the organisations to try and ensure that their rights are upheld in the field. It seems like a tall order at the moment. It doesn't seem that the government is really treating this as a priority.
That was Josephine McKenna in Rome speaking with our colleague Kate Pound Dawson. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyis Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News, coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Nick Ivanov, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa. Stand up!